Good morning. Time to begin our class. This is the second week in the class that I've called Count Your Blessings. And what we're doing in the class is we're talking about our blessings, but we're also talking about why we have been blessed. And last week we started with the scripture. Let's just remind ourselves, this is from James 1. 17 and 18 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So we started last week talking about our blessings. And what we did, you might remember, was we had a whiteboard here, and I asked you all to fill out for me these little cards, three blessings. And we categorized those blessings. And as it turned out, we could say that those categories kind of fell in five different areas. They were the physical blessings, the financial blessings, the relationship blessings, the spiritual blessings, and the salvation blessings. And then I added an additional topic, the hardship blessings. And we're going to talk each week about one of those. But again, I want to remind you that the intent of the class is not just to talk about how well we have been blessed, which we will do, because we need to celebrate that, but also to talk about why we have been blessed and how we can use our blessings for advancing God's word, advancing and supporting and blessing, frankly, other people. Fair enough? So that's where we're starting. So let's have a quick word of prayer and we'll jump in. Father, this morning as we come to you, we ask for your blessing. We ask for your blessing on this class so that we can learn more about who you are through how you have blessed us. Help us, Father, to be representatives for you in this community as we bless others. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what I want you to do. It's not crazy. I want you to look at your hand for a minute. I mean, carefully look at your hand. You know, that's a pretty remarkable thing if you think about it, right? What can your hand do? Ian punches his brother. Okay, that's one thing that your hand can do, yes. True. But think about both the gross motor things that your hand can do and then the very minute, very detailed things your hand can do. And some would say this crazy thing here called a thumb, you know, separates us from 95% of the animal world because we have an ability to do something with that thumb that most animals do not. I mean, it's a remarkable thing that we tend to take for granted. At least I tend to take it for granted. You know, it does everything from, well, let's just say yesterday it was everything from sanding a door to typing on a computer to eating to, you know, holding a racket, all kinds of crazy and interesting things. And it does it in a very powerfully yet delicate way. Again, this is one of the things. When I look at it, I go, and somebody says this happened by accident, I can't understand that. But today we're going to talk about the blessings we have that I called physical blessings. And what I meant by that, I had a hard time with the topic there, was not those things that we have, but those things that we are. Fair enough? So tell me about your physical blessings. What are they? Things that you are, not things that you have. What do you think, Donna?
That I'm a white woman living in this country.
Okay. She said that she's a white woman living in the country is a blessing. Yes? Right? Huh? In this country. Yeah, in this country. Yeah, is a blessing. And what she talked about there was really a little bit beyond what I was talking about in terms of this country, which is a blessing, which is one of the things we're going to talk about next week in terms of the things that we have. But I mean the things that we are.
This is the audience participation part.
Well, let me stimulate this with, go ahead, Jim, and I'll get the scripture ready. Yes, and those are both relationships, which we're going to talk about week after next. All right. I know this was a hard one for me to even name, but let me... Okay, here we go. Let's look at Psalm 139.
Psalm 139, verse 13, says... For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know them full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Now, I've heard this scripture used a lot of ways. Jim uses it in his class. But this is an interesting scripture. It says that we are wonderfully made. Again, is that a blessing, the way that we are put together? You know, it's not just our physical beings, but our physical beings are remarkable blessings. Yes? Some of them may be waning a bit in terms of age or issue or concern, or there's always a pain here or a pain there. But this body we have been given, I mean, it allows us to motor, you know, to move around. It allows us to think. I mean, that is a blessing that I know some people might argue with me on this, but I would suggest is part of what makes us made in the image of God. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them. And I think part of that is we have this ability to think. Is that a blessing? Yeah, we take it. Leah?
So I'm actually reading a book about how science and scripture are correlated. And this is one of the things that they dove into was you really think about how the brain functions, how complicated it is, and how God made us like that. That, you know, basically the idea that we don't have free will, like, can't be supported by the Bible. And this was one of the scriptures that used the Psalm scripture about how God made us this way, how he all these brain connections and how everything works together, just how wonderfully made we are.
Yeah, it is fascinating when you think about it from a medical side for a second. I mean, Donna and others could explain that to us in a lot more than we could understand. But the connections in our brain, there's a great book, I think it's called, I'll remember it in a minute. It's written by Marcus Buckingham. And he talks about when a baby is developing, how the brain is building all these synapses, these connections, right? And that the baby, as it develops, you know, the heartbeats, gosh, within like 6-8 days of conception, I mean, and all these things start happening, but the brain is built. But then when the baby is born, the brain starts to shut down some of those synapses because there's just too many alternatives. And it's fascinating when you study the neuroscience of this, he talks about how that's what makes us different. Is that the different combination of synapses have been shut down. And some things are one way, some things are another way. Let me ask, for example, how many of us are left-handed? Aha. I happen to notice the smartest people in the room. Okay, good. all right. I mean, what makes some of us left-handed and some of us right-handed?
God's gift. Well,
Thank you.
We're going to talk about humility also.
Not this week. No humility.
Actually, it is quite interesting to study brain science, and some suggest that those of us that are left-handed have different capabilities than those who are right-handed. You heard the right brain, left brain thing? What's that about? I always get them confused which one's which, but I think it's the left brain because that drives the right side of your body that's very analytical, you know, and very detail-oriented, and the right side, which tends to drive the left hand of your body, is very creative, and some of us tend more one way, right? And some of us tend more another. Do you think that's by accident?
No.
Good answer.
No. Why don't you think it's by accident? What do you think?
My wife made a comment to me, wouldn't it be boring if everyone was just like you?
Well, yeah, it would.
My response was no, it'd be wonderful. But the reality of it is, everybody has a different personality. Everybody fits a different niche. You are very creative, I'm very analytical. If we need a problem solved where all I can see is straight ahead of me in the analytical mindset, I can't come up with something from left field, as I pointed out. I can't take those blinders off. I'm stuck. Somebody like you can come in and say, okay, what if we did this? Oh, okay. We help one another with our different talents and our different gifts.
I mean, I think that's true physically, as well as emotionally, as well as mentally. We just have different orientations. Jim?
Oh, and he says some are given to be teachers and some preachers and evangelists. And it's all for the growth of the church.
Exactly. We're going to look at that in a few minutes. In fact, it says it's for the common good that we're all different. Because unfortunately, a little contrary to what Keith said, if we all were Keith, we'd all be fighting for control, frankly. Because we would all be the same, right? It's a very, very interesting thing. In my consulting practice, in my coaching practice, I often give folks this assessment called the Strength Finders Assessment. Anyone ever heard of this or taken it by chance? A few of you? If anybody's interested, talk to me. I can give it for you cheap. But it's a really cool thing because what it does is it asks you a series of questions. It's an online survey. And when you take the online survey, what it produces for you is a statistically valid assessment of what your unique strengths are. In fact, it identifies for you your five top strengths. And they tend to be things like communication, empathy, analytic, you know, those kinds of things. The fascinating thing about the research is that just comparing those five things out of a list of 34 to find somebody else that has the exact same list that you do, 1 in 33 million people have the same, kind of the same look that you do. Do you think that's by accident? See, again, I think this is something very unique to who God is and how he has created us and our physical beings. Does that make sense? Questions, concerns, emotional outbursts? There you go. Thank you. I'm always looking for an emotional outburst in my class. Good, good. So let's look at a couple of the scriptures. Jeremiah 1:5, I'll read this one quickly for you. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. He's speaking about Jeremiah in that context. We know about our bodies. The other thing we know about our bodies is it's a temple, right? So if we look at 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. But the two scriptures I want us to spend most of our time with today, first one is in Romans 12. So why don't you pop over there for me, Romans 12. Again, today we're talking about your blessings, what those blessings are specifically related to your physical blessings. So let's read this in that context. Therefore, this is verse 1 of Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to offer your body as a living sacrifice? You mean I should be in line this morning and we should be offering human sacrifices?
Not
hardly. Well, I mean, you could read it that way. Offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Mike, what's it mean?
Well, that would be a dead sacrifice.
That'd be a dead sacrifice.
And I think that's the point, you know, that we now live a sacrificial life, meaning I want to offer what God has blessed me with back to Him. I think it's right in line with what you've been talking about. You know, He has designed me to do certain things, to step up and serve, or to just carry out whatever work He's put in front of me. And that's how I worship. That's a means of worship.
Let's read the rest of this. Thank you, Mike. Let's read the rest of this. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, another blessing you have from God. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So it's fascinating to me that before he goes in and starts talking about how we're all different, he says, don't let it go to your head. And then he says in verse 4, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So what's he saying here?
Embrace it and give it all that you have.
Okay, he does say, thank you for that, embrace it, give it all that you have. But even before that, conceptually, he's saying what, Jim?
You have a choice. You've been given something. I mean, when he talks about offer, he says you have a choice. You can either pull back from giving a sacrifice, or you can give a sacrifice. And he's encouraging you to make the right choice.
Yes, and the interesting thing about that sacrifice is, just like, I'm going to argue, just like he did with Jesus, he provides what to sacrifice. You see what I'm saying? He provides to you these gifts. And he's saying, that's what you can sacrifice to God. Now, again, a lot of times we tend to think about gifts as something mystical. But he's talking about, you've been given a gift. That is part of the blessing that you have. I'm going to argue that Jim Field's gift is different than John Dean's gift, which is different than Mike Casey's gift, which is different than Donna Miller's gift. There may be some overlap in those gifts. I mean, we all have the gift of salvation. That's week 7. But we have something unique to be able to get. Do you agree? Yeah? Do you see it? I mean, in other people? Gifts, Keith's gift is speaking in class. No, I mean, but seriously, he's not afraid to do that. Some of us may be a little bit more reluctant. We have different gifts. Yeah, Leah?
I think one of the things that was skipped over in that scripture was that he blesses us with the ability to renew our minds. If anybody has
Absolutely. Thank you for that. Thank you. Do you see different gifts in different people? It's actually going to be a little easier because Mike left. But I actually, I mean, think about Mike just for a second, and I didn't want to embarrass him, so I just went. But think about Mike. Can you see the gifts he has? Right? He has a gift of wisdom. He has a gift, and I think Earl shares that gift. He has a gift of being able to be in front of an audience and speak to everyone at the level that they're kind of focused on. I mean, he's been wonderfully gifted, and we have a blessing of having him among us because not all of us have that gift. Is that fair? Yeah? And there are others that have completely different gifts among us. You know? I get these cards from time to time from Carol Garman. Completely different gift. She doesn't get in the pulpit on Sunday. But she renews my spirit. Carol did too recently. Right? Because of cards that have been sent. It's a different gift. Yes?
Yeah, and Carolyn even says, I don't expect you to write back to me because she knows, I think she knows that is her gift. She doesn't expect other people to do it because that might not be their gift.
Yeah, now that's an interesting concept. Because we have a tendency to think that because God asks us to do all of these things, that all of us need to do all of those things. I'm not sure that's what he said. We all can't be Mike. We all can't be Carol. Can't be, right? Let's look at another one. well, before we leave that, though, let's look at those gifts real quick for a moment. If we have different gifts, according to the grace given to each of us. I just want to highlight that before we move forward, that these gifts that are given to us are part of what God's grace is to us. See?
Yeah, before we move this, to me it's interesting that what's the very next thing he says, after making these statements, everything that you just said being true with it, what he's trying to get us to understand. The next thing he says is, let love be genuine. Is that a completely different subject? Oh, I was talking about this now. Boom, I'm going to talk about something completely different. Or is it because his mind was, I'm talking about this, and the next thing I think of, because I was just thinking about that, is, let love be genuine. It says to me that in his mind, Paul's mind, he's making a connection. There was a springboard here. These things I've just been talking about, they need to have love to bind them all together and to make them all work. In the first place, for them to work right, we need to have true love in you, but then to get along with one another and to act as a family, then we need to have love for one another as well.
Great point, Steve. You know that assessment I was telling about a couple minutes ago, the StrengthFinders assessment, it's by the Gallup organization, and one of the things that they talk about is that there's two advantages to understanding what your unique strengths are. One of them is you can use them better. Because a lot of times what our actual strengths are, people all our life have been telling us are our weakness. You're too analytical. Well, that may be the gift that God gave me to be analytical. But then the other thing that's interesting about knowing what your strengths are is that you start to realize that you view everybody else's strengths through your strengths. So if these are my strengths, they become the glasses through which I view everyone else. And to Steve's point, without love, that could be a very dangerous thing. Right? Steve and I have been friends for 35 years. What did you say? Way too long? Yeah, and I guess I made an assumption when I said friends. But Steve and I are very, very different. Steve is maybe the most analytical person I know in a lot of ways. And if I don't have an understanding that that's not one of how I look at people, or he doesn't have an understanding that, right, that he is that analytical, sometimes he may look through a filter, or I may look through a filter of other people who don't share the same strengths, and it's easy, unfortunately, to look down on somebody if you're not careful, because they don't have your strengths. That's what I think God does amazingly here, is he says, as Steve pointed out, which I appreciate, you have strengths, you're given a unique strength, and love is more important. Leah?
Are we going to talk about weaknesses? Do you think we should improve on our weaknesses? Or do you think that's my strength, so that's what I'm going to do?
We'll come back to that in just a second after I hear Shauna's perspective.
I was actually making something sort of similar, that when you start talking about gifts and what you're given and the strengths that you have, there are kind of two different directions you can go. One is, this is my thing, and that's it. And you don't look beyond that. And then the other is that, you know, why isn't anybody else doing what I'm doing? Kind of like what you were saying, out of that perspective of, you know, well, this is what we're supposed to be doing, so everybody should be also doing that too. So it's kind of these two different directions where, which way does it go? I mean, when you have the parable of the talents, and the one who had a lot was given much more because of what he did with them, and the one who had just one and hoarded it had nothing else, and was condemned. So I think trying to expand on our weaknesses, or not, I guess it's not a weakness question, it's not really what I'm answering probably, but more, do we just kind of pigeonhole ourselves into the one thing that we are, or do we try to expand?
I think, interestingly enough here, this is part of what you need to work out with God. I'm going to start it with that. But let me also share with you some research about strengths and weaknesses. There was a really interesting study done in the early 60s, and it's been replicated hundreds of times since then. And it was about speed reading. Remember, I don't know, some of you might remember when Kennedy was a president, he was a very, very fast reader. And so it became very popular. Do you remember Evelyn? Yes, I can tell you how old people are, but if they can answer that question. And for those of you that are a little younger, Kennedy was the president in the 60s. Anyway, there was some research done, fascinating research. And what they were doing was actually testing different people's ability at training, a training course. But here's what he did. This guy's name was Clifton that did this study at the University of Nebraska. And what he did was, he took a group of people that were okay readers. They could read 150 words a minute. And he took a group of people that were pretty good readers, 350 words a minute. And he gave them the same test. Okay? Get it? You see what he did? The research he did? And so the people that were 150, he put them through this training program, and they were able to do about 280, 300 words a minute. Not bad, right? He trained them and they doubled their capability. What do you think happened to the people that were able to read 350 words a minute? What do you think after they went through the exact same training? What do you think happened? Do you think they went down? Think they stayed about the same? Do you think they went up a little bit? Up a lot? On average, 2,900 words a minute. That sounds almost unreasonable, right? But here's what that research demonstrated, and then it's been demonstrated over and over and over and over and over again. Not just with speed reading, with other things. And that is that people that have a natural ability towards something can produce and grow in that area much, much more than they are able to grow where they're weak. Now, let's be fair. You know, there are certain behaviors as Christians that if we have as weaknesses, we've got to address. But I think we have a tendency to spend most of our time talking to each other about the weaknesses we should address rather than the strengths we should be leveraging. And actually, if you look in this research, it's fascinating because what they started doing was focusing on people's strengths, and it's energizing, it's uplifting, it builds power in somebody. Because you're tapping into what I believe, frankly, to be God's natural gift to them. I mean, for me to be highly, highly analytical is very difficult. I mean, I'm dyslexic. You know what that means? You know, I get the words mixed up, write the letters mixed up. Did you know that
Who came up with E equals MC squared?
Einstein.
Was dyslexic. Did you know that? Which kind of worries me about that E equals MC squared.
But, you know, the point is, for me to do that, I can improve a little bit on my analytical ability, but that's not my natural strength. So again, I'm just answering your question about weaknesses. What I want us to think about today, however, is what are those unique gifts God gave you? Let's go to 1
Corinthians chapter 12. Interesting. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, both talking about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. You know, when you were pagan somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. It's an interesting concept here to be thinking about the role of the Holy Spirit in giving you your gifts and supporting your gifts. But here we go. Verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, all of them in everyone, and it's the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still others, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, and all of those parts form one body, so it is with Christ. All were baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, a body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. Or if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. For the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, each one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If we are all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable, we treat with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, and that the parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are part of the body of Christ. Each of you is a part of it. And God has placed the church first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, of different types of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now desire the greater gift. Let me show you the most excellent way, which is love. Right? Back to Steve's point. So what do you learn from that scripture about individual gifts? Exactly, right? And so just like our physical bodies have the gift of hearing and sight and taste and motor, we serve those different roles within the body. And my suggestion today is, and that is a significant blessing. It's a blessing that you have your unique gift. It's a blessing to me that you have your unique gift. If you use that gift, if I use my gifts, what do you think? Does that make sense? Yeah? So as we said, in each of these classes, we're going to talk about the blessings, and hopefully you get a feeling for just physically how blessed you are. You're blessed, you know, in your body. Even those who are paraplegics, don't have control of their body, are still blessed. With a mind, they have those opportunities. I mean, we have this richness of blessing. And what we've spent some time talking about is we also have a richness of unique blessing. Everyone in this congregation would say, Mickey is just different from the rest of us, right? That is Mickey's blessing to us. And frankly, that is Mickey's blessing directly from God. But how do we bless others with that? So now we've talked about what we have as a blessing. How do we then use this to bless others? Earl?
Well, we avoid and see it first. Therefore, the need to avoid it, what happened in Corinth. They took their gifts, the mystical ones you referred to, as well as the others, and they divided up totally horribly. They no longer were a body. They no longer valued each other. They valued self. They wanted to be elevated to the most. My gift is better than your gift, and I desire this gift or that gift, and if you don't have it, you're great. And they didn't treat the members of the body the same. They ought to unite us in humility, because we are that body.
Yeah.
And to whatever degree I don't have somebody else's gift, to that degree without them, I'm lesser. I don't have part of what God meant me to have, because I have elevated my gift to make me into some kind of toot my own horn guy.
Interesting, isn't it? I mean, you even think about marriages. God put us together because we have different gifts. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. To Earl's point, right? I mean, we've got to be very careful about not saying, because I have a specific gift, I'm better than others. But I also believe, frankly, because of that concern, and probably because of our mothers, we're afraid to talk about our gifts at all. It's like unkind, it's haughty, it's arrogant to talk about specific gifts that they have. What do you think about that, Jim?
Well, I think one of the issues is that we think of these gifts as you're pointing out, something higher than they really are. But the only way you can use a gift is by serving. You can't say, well, I have this gift, and I just don't see how you can use the gift that God has given you without humbling yourself and saying, I'm going to help someone else.
Exactly. An amazing point, because if we recognize this is my blessing, without recognizing here's how I use this blessing to God's glory, that's not a blessing. That may be a curse.
It's ironic that you started the class off discussing hands. One of the greatest gifts, blessings that I have, was chopping my fingers off. As strange as that sounds, 15 years ago, I was a hot machinist. I was good at what I did, and I knew I was good at what I did. And I wasn't afraid to let you know that I was good at what I did. I whacked my fingers off. Okay, well, I'm out running for a while. Here's the chance for me to sit and reflect. For a good long while, I got real, real meek and real, real held back about letting people know how good I was. It's come full circle. 12 years into it, about 3 years ago, I got put in a position where I now teach. And here's an opportunity for me to take what I have as a gift and pass that knowledge on to somebody else to improve them, to help them make a better living for themselves, to help them become a better technician. Mm.
Interesting point, right? I can imagine you start your class by saying, how many years you've been a machinist? And you say, 5? sorry. you started it. I didn't think. But if you think about it, right? I mean, we have these gifts, and we have the gifts to be humble. But here's the question. Here's the targeted, very specific question. Do you know what your gifts are? If you don't, there's two things you can do. Ask people around you. They know what your gifts are. And secondly, you can own those gifts. That was from God. Oh, no, I'm really not. I mean, I'm not saying you brag about anything. Please don't misunderstand. But what I am saying is, unless you own your gift, you may never step up to use it. I won't use names in this example, but, wow, gosh, I've been here 30-plus years, and early on I was serving in helping with education, you know, deacon of education for a long time. And I went to this one woman who had raised 5 children, and I said, I need help teaching the nursery. I could never do that. Why could you never do that? Well, I'm not sure I could influence those children. And I'd be, you've got 5 kids. You've done this. She ended up being, in my opinion, maybe one of the best teachers we ever had for the nursery. But she was a little afraid of stepping up and saying she had a skill. Once she did, she was extremely successful. Once Moses did, he was extremely successful. Now, he had to use Aaron, right? Because Aaron had different talents than he had. But together, they were able to work that out. Again, I want you to think about, I'm going to go back just very quickly because I'm running out of time. But I want to go back to, let me just share with you a couple quick scriptures. 1 Peter 4:10-11 says, each of you use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful servants of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If he serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. That's the reason you were given a gift, not so we praise Keith because of his great skill, but because God is to be praised. Make sense? We'd agree with that, right? But here's the core question, and I will ask one of these every single time. So how do you, on a day-to-day basis, use your unique gift or talent? What ministry are you part of that allows you to use your unique gift, your unique talent? Again, this whole class is going to be, if you're receiving these blessings from God and you're not using them, what was it 1 Peter just said? Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Mike?
Can I say one more thing?
Please.
If you feel like there's nothing here where you can use your unique gift, everything we do as ministries came about because somebody was gifted and said, let's start doing this. And, you know, start something, you know, and let others see what you're doing and join you. And that is an encouraging place to do, you know, step out and do those kind of things.
Absolutely. You know, a few weeks ago, you had a sermon on, you know, is it all our responsibility to be an evangelist, right? That kind of idea. Christine and I know this lady. I'm not sure she's still alive. But she couldn't get up in front of a pulpit. She didn't have that skill. But she used World Bible School. Do you know World Bible School? It's an online correspondence course, right? And she taught hundreds of people in Africa. In fact, one family named their firstborn child after her, Betty Goss. I don't know what the last name was, but you know, she found a way. Her gift was she could just communicate via letters, and she used correspondence courses, and frankly converted a lot of people. She went out into the world in a very different way than I might, or that you might, or other people might. So here's the challenge, and this is always hard. Find your gift. Ask other people, what is it? Pray about it. What is the unique gift that you've been given? And then find a way to use it. If you need help with that, ask the elders. They can help you find a way to use that unique gift. Leah, last comment?
You brought up something
that when you started talking about it, I was like, no, that's a totally different approach that I would take, and that would be the teaching. So, like, once I started scheduling teachers, I wanted everybody to know that you need to let me know where you feel most comfortable, and that is where I will put you, whether it be Sunday, Wednesday, age, whatever, how many times you teach, how many quarters, whatever. Because I want everyone to come in and serve with their heart. I don't want anyone coming in and saying, oh, I have to teach this class again. Or how many weeks do I have left in the quarter? Because I don't want them feeling that way. I don't want you to serve and have a negative feeling about it. But once I started what you said and then started thinking about it, at some point that's not my responsibility. And that's one of my gifts. I'm very empathetic. I'm classified as a highly sensitive person. And my gift can lead me down the path. So me being empathetic, and I don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable. I want everybody to serve happily and blah, 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 blah. But at some point, I have to realize that's not my responsibility. It's your responsibility to come and serve. You know, that's your relationship with God.
Right. And here's the thing I would suggest in that context. I have the gift of being able to make people a little bit uncomfortable to try something different. That's why I teach, frankly. Okay? And it might not be your gift, but it was a gift that I could use in that situation. And she taught for as long as she was here, because she was really good at it, she loved it. But she was afraid. You get the point, right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gifts you give us. Help us, Father, daily to find ways to use those gifts that you've given us to bless others. In Jesus' name, amen.